according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. And on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. When these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand." He taught them a lesson. "Consider the fig tree and all other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Whenever I encounter the passage we have from today's epistle, from St. Paul's 13th chapter, his letter to the Romans, I think of the life-changing impact it had for St. Augustine. He had been internally debating this for a while, this point, whether to give up his life of sinful unchastity and become a Christian. His spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. He knew his misery. He knew how much he needed God. But he couldn't give up the life of the flesh. He would pray, but his prayer literally was, "Give me chastity, but not yet." One day when he couldn't take it anymore, he went out into a garden as far away as possible as a grown man to weep. He cried out, echoing the Psalms, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And responded, "Why not now? Why not this hour to end my uncleanness?" He heard a strange voice, seemingly of a child, coming from the neighboring yard. "Tole et lege," take and read. He arose and opened up the scriptures and read the first chapter he had found. He had been powerfully moved prior by the story of the conversion of St. Anthony of the Desert, who, when as a young man, after both of his parents died, he had gone to church looking for some word of God to guide him. The gospel that day was Jesus' words, "If you wish to have it all, if you wish to be perfect, go, sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and you'll have great treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." And he heard these words, as we should always listen to the word of God, as words to be done. And he went out and sold what he had, gave the money to his poor, saved a little bit for his sister who was dependent on him, and then went and followed the Lord, making his whole life in imitation of Jesus 40 days in the desert. St. Augustine, knowing this, knew the power of the Word of God. So he went and picked up the scriptures, and his eyes fell on today's reading. "Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, promiscuity, licentiousness, rivalry, or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." Reading these words, Augustine felt a light of serenity immediately enter his heart. All darkness of doubt vanish away, and a strength invade him. And he did precisely what St. Paul said. He converted totally by the grace of the Lord. And the rest, as Scott Hahn famously likes to say, is salvation history. It's so powerful to begin this liturgical season of Advent, this new liturgical year, with these words of St. Paul. If we have any doubt about the purpose of this season, St. Paul tells us with his characteristic directness, you know what time it is. It's the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. So many of our contemporaries, like so many of us, are very much like St. Augustine, spiritually somnolent and somnambulating, not living in the real, real world of God's kingdom, but sleepwalking through life, following the crowds more than Jesus, living according to the flesh rather than according to the Holy Spirit, indulging the lusts of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life, then denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus' footsteps. Living more, as Pope Francis said this morning, like pagans rather than disciples. In Advent, God seeks to give us a spiritual reset, to help us get back to the fundamental orientation of the gift of life He's given us, and to prepare us inwardly to live in the light, to come fully alive, to embrace the reality of Christ's incarnation that we mark in history at Christmas, His ongoing presence that we celebrate in mystery in the Eucharist and the sacraments, and in majesty at His judgment that we await at His second coming. Advent, St. Paul tells us, is first meant to be this time of spiritual reawakening, rebirth, as we return to the proper foundation of our life and put on the Lord Jesus. First thing we have to do is to get up. Sometimes many of us are spiritually like slumbering teenage boys against whom you have to take out defibrillating pads to get them out of the sack. Many of us similarly routinely hit the snooze button on the Lord's calling us to become fully alive. We'll put off the things of God for all the so-called really important things of this world, which will all pass away. We know that we should make our faith a priority, but we procrastinate. Advent is like a set of spiritual defibrillators meant to jolt us out of comas into which in weakness we can fall. Jesus alludes to this in the Gospel when he talks about his second coming and how we can learn to stand erect and raise our heads to embrace the redemption he brings. Beware, he tells us, that your hearts not become drowsy from, on the one hand, carousing and drunkenness, on the other hand, the anxieties of daily life that day catch you by surprise like a trap. But he says, rather, be vigilant in all times and pray that you will have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man. In his Angelus meditation this morning, Pope Francis said that many of us are in fact spiritually drowsy, and this inner sleep arises from always revolving around ourselves and being stuck with our own life, with its problems, with its pleasures, with its sorrows. And this type of life, he says, tires us, bores us, and closes us to hope. Advent, on the other hand, he continues, invites us to a vigilant commitment to look outside of ourselves, to look toward God who is coming, and look toward our neighbor whom he sends to us. And so the questions for us as we begin this new year are, am I going to be drowsy or vigilant? Am I going to be drunk with spirits like the pre-converted Augustine, or filled with the Holy Spirit like the saint? Am I going to be overwhelmed with the anxieties of life, or am I going to throw my cares on the Lord in prayer? Vigilance and prayer, as Jesus tells us today, are action words. They're commands to be lived, and they're means of our medicine. Jesus gave a parable about his second coming in which he contrasted the faithful and prudent steward who awaited his master's return and faithfully fed himself and others with the nourishment the master provided versus the unfaithful and stupid servant who said, "My master's long delayed," and began to get smashed and to abuse the servants under his care. We know that when the Lord came into the world the first time, some people were vigilant, prayerful, and ready, but most weren't. Mary Immaculate was ready and said a hearty yes to God's will. St. Joseph was ready and therefore capable of adapting quickly to God's mysterious plans. The shepherds were ready. So ready, in fact, that they were able to run to Bethlehem as soon as they heard the good news of great joy. The Magi were ready to discern the newborn king's presence in a brightly shining star. On the other hand, Herod wasn't ready. Too caught up in his own pride and sensuality, in his own drunkenness and anxiety, to recognize the source of his authority. The innkeepers weren't ready. Too caught in their business and in their needs for order that they didn't have room to house their creator. The scholars of law weren't ready to make even this short 6-mile journey downhill from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to learn from the divine legislator. The vast majority of the Jewish people who had been awaiting the advent of their Messiah for centuries were simply and sadly not prepared when at last he came. To use Jesus' words from today's gospel, that allowed their hearts to become drowsy. They weren't ready for the love he was bringing into the world. Jesus wants us to learn from their mistakes. Today is a new start. This Advent is a second chance or a third chance. Perhaps for some of us a 90th chance. But it may be our last chance. It's an opportunity Jesus wants us to seize, not squander. He wants this new church year to become the best spiritual year of our life. And he'll give us all the graces necessary for it to become so. But we have to hunger for, receive, and respond to that gift. That leads to the second point. Advent is similarly a time of excitement. Because, as St. Paul says to us, salvation is nearer to us than when we first became believers. It's nearer because we're a full year closer to meeting Christ face to face. It will happen when we die and are judged by him. The day we pray that we will be able to say with the prophet Isaiah, "Behold the God to whom we look to save us. Let us rejoice and be glad because he has saved us." Advent is a time when we look not only to the past, Jesus coming in Bethlehem, or gaze toward him in the present as he comes to teach us by his word, feed us with his body and blood, forgive us in the sacrament of penance, and guide us each day through prayer. It's also a day when we're helped to look ahead to Christ coming at the end of time or at the end of our life, whichever comes first. Salvation is nearer to us now than the first Sunday of Advent last year, than the day of our confirmation and first Holy Communion, than the day of our baptism, than the day we first consciously became believers. That's something that should get us more excited than the most energetic football fan gets for the Super Bowl when his team is playing. How do we get ready? How do we get excited? We do so by stoking our love for God, for his promises, for heaven, for holiness, for happiness. This requires a choice to start placing our heart more where our treasure ought to be. It means wanting to make time this Advent concretely. More time for prayer than shopping. More time for reading sacred scripture or good spiritual books than watching television. More time for loving our neighbor, especially those in greater need of our love, than for our hobbies and diversions. The Advent wreath here is meant to symbolize that holy longing. The most important part of the wreath, we know, is not the color of the candles, which symbolize the hopeful spirit of the weeks, or the evergreens, which mark God's eternal love. The most important part of the Advent wreath is the flame, which symbolizes our prayerful vigilance for Christ's coming. Just like the five wise bridesmaids in Jesus' parable, whose lamps were always burning in anticipation of the bridegroom's return, so the flame of these candles symbolize and remind us of the flame of desire we're called to have for Jesus' return. And as Advent goes on, that flame is supposed to grow. By means of the Advent wreath, we spiritually unite ourselves to the Jews in their anticipation of Messiah and the mercy he brought into the world. The Advent wreath, both here and at home, is meant to remind us to be ready for Christ's light to irradiate our entire life. It's a sign of holy vigilance, of not falling asleep, of not letting our faith in his love and our longing for him expire or wane. The third point is Advent is a time of journeying. After getting our excitement and our desires right, then we need to act on those desires and get moving to where Christ awaits us. Christ is coming. That's what the term Advent means. And we're called not to stay where we are. We're called to get up and journey toward him so that we might journey with him. Advent, like the life of faith as a whole, is fundamentally dynamic. There's movement. We pray, O come, Emmanuel. O come, divine Messiah. And at the same time, we prepare to go out and meet him. We say with the wise bridesmaids, the bridegroom is here. Let us go out to meet Christ the Lord. Advent is the season in which we make straight the paths for that encounter. And then go to meet him in prayer. Go to encounter him in confession. Go to receive him in the Holy Eucharist. Go to worship him in adoration. Go to find him in the distressing disguise of those in need. And continue to walk in his way. So Advent, in short, is a time when we need to get up, get excited, and get moving. It's a time to throw off the works of darkness and put on Christ's beautiful, brilliant armor. It's a time to conduct ourselves properly in the day and live each day and night putting on the Lord Jesus. It's like the gun that goes off at the start of a race to get us to begin a spiritual sprint, to go with haste to meet Christ as he comes. And insofar as this Advent is one of the shortest we can have, just 3 weeks in one day, it's a time to get moving today, to get off to a great start, reprioritizing and making more and more space for Christ who comes to us out of love. Advent is a gift to the Lord, a time to bring us back to what is most important, God's love for us and our response to him in faith and love. On this first day of the new liturgical year, let us ask the Lord for the grace to make this a truly holy year, a year of faith, a year of prayer, a year of increased Christian love, a true Annus Domini, year of the Lord. O come, Emmanuel.